This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 47, Building a $4,000 per month Kindle Publishing Business.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. What's going on? This is episode 47, Building a $4,000 per month Kindle Publishing Business. My guest is Nicholas Kingo, a male model turned Amazon publishing magnate. Now we're going to try and keep the Zoolander jokes to a minimum here. But Nick, first reach out to me about, he was talking about listening to the Side Hustle Show, how it brightened his day, and you know, while he was working, and that flattery, my friends, will get you the attention of your humble podcast host every time. But it turns out he's got a pretty sweet side hustle going on, building a portfolio of Kindle titles and outsourcing most of the writing. So he was willing to share the details of how it works here on the show. So I was happy to have him on. Links and show notes and a pic of Nicholas, who is very pretty in a Northern European kind of way, if you're into that sort of thing. I'm comfortable admitting that, at sidehustlenation.com/episode47. Before we get into a couple quick shouts for new 5-star iTunes reviews, one coming in from Flaypo says, love the side hustle. What you do from 5 to 9 will make you alive. Start doing something you enjoy on the side, and it makes a huge difference in your psyche and your life. I love it. Thank you so much for that. Second one is from Snoopy Snoop Poop Dog, who I think just uses that username to see if I would read it on the air. Says, informative and inspirational. This is a great podcast. Listen to it on the way home from the daily grind, dreaming of my way out of the rat race. Thank you for that, guys. I love it. Keep them coming. And with that, let's get Nicholas on the line. Hey guys, you're going to notice some intermittent audio distortion on Nicholas's side during the call. I'm really sorry for that, and hopefully the bulk of his message and the quality of his content shines through despite the poor connection we had. Hey Nicholas, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hi Nick, thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So everybody, Nicholas is a traveler, a model, and a Kindle author on this unique mission to earn a full-time income from his book royalties before he even starts university in the fall. Now, I have a feeling this call is going to be really eye-opening or just kind of put me in my place for not selling as many books as he's doing. So, Nick, let's walk through this transition from being a model, traveling the world, to becoming an author. How did you get started down this path?
Well, I just started, I started blogging when I was on the road because I was kind of bored when I wasn't casting. So I started blogging and then 6 months later, I got introduced to Kindle publishing, and I decided just to compilate all my blog posts into a sort of a memoir. And I just used that as a vessel to kind of learn Amazon Kindle publishing because I figured like I had to release something. I couldn't just, I had to put something together to get a vessel to kind of learn the ropes and release that. It's sort of a memoir. It's called Runway Memoirs. And
you got a memoir? How old are you?
Well, I think it's only like 40 pages. So it's
a work in progress.
I remember. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the first book, like you said, it's a compilation of blog posts, and it's just about your experience doing traveling, doing the modeling thing. And
yeah.
I understand you've got, because you're publishing income numbers on your site, last month was up to $1,500 or something. Now, is that all from that one title?
No, definitely not. That one title doesn't sell anything at all.
Oh, okay.
I think that,
okay.
That title probably makes me like $5 a month, if that.
Okay. Well, I've had some busts as well. So that's good. That's good to know. Well, so talk about kind of that initial, hey, I published and what's next? Like what made you kind of say, hey, there's still some opportunity in this platform?
Yeah, I think I was, I stumbled upon that guy Corey and his Millionaire by 25 concept site.
Yes.
And so I was looking at all his interviews, and he was interviewing this guy called Ty Cohen, who was making, I think it was something like $30,000 a month from just Kindles. And he was talking about how his daughter of 14 was outsourcing like vampire novels. She was hiring people to write vampire novels.
Okay.
And she was making really good money from that. So I figured I might just try that out. And I was just looking at videos on YouTube. There was another guy who was he did a video on how he hired writers to write health books. So I figured I might try that out as well. And I just came at it.
Sure. So what are you doing? Do you have a specific process you follow to come up with these different book ideas?
Yeah, I try to follow trends. Like I have a book that sells really well on the hormone leptin. A lot of niche authors, they don't want to reveal their books, but I figure like I might just walk the walk. And this book is called Conquer Leptin Resistance. And I think you made something like it. I think that one book made me $1,000 last month. So as you can see, you have to like really release a lot of books because you never really know what's going to sell. Because like I have released that book following a certain set of metrics and then released other books following the exact same metrics and they don't sell at all. So it's very important to just keep at it and just because at one point you'll hit that book or many books hopefully that will sell like gangsters, you know. So it's just about keeping at it.
Well, yeah, and I've heard that echoed a couple times. You never really know what's gonna go on to sell and what's gonna be a dud, and so you kind of have to build that portfolio up. So talk to me about this is something I've never heard of, leptin resistance. It's a dietary thing.
Yeah, it's like a hunger regulating hormone. So I was just like, I've always been interested in health and such. So,
okay,
I figured I'd write a book. Like to start with, I went on the Kindle store and saw like, was there any other books on this topic? And there was two other books that were named something with leptin as well, and they were written by doctors. And I actually now outrank those two books written by legit doctors.
Okay.
And I just hired a medical student from Pakistan to write my book. But
fascinating.
Yeah.
Tell me about the process of outsourcing the writing, because I did an experiment in the fall trying to get a book to market quickly and say, hey, I could do this a lot faster if I hired somebody to do the actual writing for me. Put the bid up on Elance and, you know, hey, I need you to be a native speaker. This is what I'm looking for. And I kind of made some mistakes that I normally wouldn't make in hiring this person. And the work came back and it was technically fine. It was, you know, it was acceptable, but it wasn't like, it didn't have my voice. It didn't have like, it was just like, they met the requirements. They like checked the boxes, but it wasn't good. Like I wouldn't be comfortable putting my name on it, you know?
Yeah, it feels robotic sometimes, but the thing is, you got to be willing to rewrite a lot of this stuff. Like you gotta like to write, because I rewrite most of the stuff I get back, because many of them are not native speakers. You'll have a lot of freelancers that will have like one couple of months ago who wrote two books for me, and she had an American sounding name, and she had a picture of a white woman in her late 20s. And when I got the work, it was just so obvious that this was not from America, you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up rewriting most of the stuff anyway, but I'm pretty fast with it. So I wasn't too worried about it. I just gave him a shoddy review. Like I just told him that I'm not sure this person is actually American and put that review up because, you know, it's just not right that they... Like it should be illegal. Like you can't put up like somebody else's picture and then claim to be another person, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you left the feedback, because I think there's a lot of kind of grade inflation that goes on these platforms for fear of retribution, right? Like because they have an opportunity to rate you as well, and it's like, well, I don't want somebody to say bad things about me, so I'll just, you know, I won't say anything at all. And then, you know, as that, you know, over the course of time, you know, all the people with negatives just say nothing, and all the people that loved it say good things. And so, of course, everyone has a 5-star rating, even if they are not delivering consistent 5-star work. So with your... sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works with when you're hiring on Elance, because I don't... Like I've hired, I think, about 10 writers, and I don't think they've ever left a review ever.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. With your guy in Pakistan, your med student in Pakistan, how much did it cost for you to get this book produced?
$120, and then $5 for the cover.
Oh my god!
If only I could replicate that every single time, I'd be a millionaire in no time.
Okay, and how much of that did you have to rewrite?
I think that one I didn't have to rewrite that much.
Okay.
I think I only had to like correct certain spelling mistakes, but that's it.
Okay. So he delivered really, really good for $120. How many words do you remember the word count on that?
Oh, I think the book is 50 pages maybe. So each page is somewhere between 250 and 300 words for Kindle, that is.
Okay. So probably around 12 or 14,000 words.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then, and this guy was through Elance?
Yes.
Okay. Any best practices for submitting that job and kind of screening the candidates that come back to try and get more hits than misses?
I think it's just going through their portfolio, really reading, like looking at all their work samples and all that. I think that's the best practice, because like right now I'm experimenting with another portal called EpicWrite, where the writers are screened. Like you don't actually get to contact the writer because they're like, I think they have to get hired by the portal.
Okay, it's called EpicWrite.
EpicWrite, yes.
Okay.
It used to be called Fweeze. But yeah, I just commissioned 3 books there. So they should be coming in tomorrow, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how good it is yet, but there's like certain, there's 3 different, like there's a basic package and a premium package and like a gold package or whatever, and you pay for how good they rate their own writers. So I experimented with the most expensive one and the second most expensive one. So I'm interested to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, that's I mean, you're going big, doing 3 different projects at once. Okay, so let's go back to kind of the trends or like the topic discovery. Is there a specific tool like for keyword research or for something that you're using to say, okay, I'm going to make a book about this, I'm going to make a book about this, and that sort of thing?
Yes. Well, some people like to use, say, Google Trends or just like whatever they feel that like they've noticed people talk about.
Okay.
That's a big thing. But yeah, I just like just kind of peruse the Kindle store and just, you know, how there's always like people who bought this, bought that and all that. So I just like to kind of get lost in there and just like, for example, I'll go and press the health fitness niche, and then it branches out and there's all these under niches and you press those, and that's how I like to just get ideas.
Okay. One trick that somebody shared with me that I thought was really, really fascinating was in their book, they're recommending some, you know, for additional reading, they're recommending like these books by these big name authors and stuff, nonfiction. And so in turn, if their readers go ahead and buy those, then it shows up on their page with a much, much bigger audience, like people who bought this. Oh, also bought this tiny book from somebody you never heard of. And they're like, oh, well, let me check that out. And I was like, oh, that's genius. I love it.
Really? I never heard of that. That's interesting.
You got to try it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So then, come up with the idea using these trends or just kind of seeing what people are talking about. And I kind of did a similar thing with my treadmill desk book, because it's like, hey, you know, this is kind of a trendy topic, you know, sitting is killing you, walk while you're working. And it was from personal experience, because I, you know, love my treadmill desk and, you know, had to jump off it to get on this call. But, you know, probably I'm already 3.5 miles deep this morning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this is a topic that I'd care about, I'm excited about, and was happy to kind of share that with the world. And it's not setting any bestseller records, but, you know, it's pretty consistent sales each month. So it's kind of cool, but you know, I would need to add a lot more to kind of build up the author portfolio. So I wanted to ask about the time. So from the time you come up with the idea to getting back your finished product from your writers, like what's the timeline for that and how much does it typically cost?
Usually at least a week, I'd say. I don't really know if they keep their schedule, because I usually just commission it and then I just wait until they put it on my desk, you know. So, but I think about a week. And some books I've paid as little as $35 for, and yeah, the highest I've paid was the Lepson one, $120. And yeah, I think that's where I'm usually at, like the $50 range. I'm experimenting a lot with just $6,000 books at the moment. So that's about when it comes out, like 25 pages. So you can release it for the $2.99 price point Amazon, which is it's pretty easy to sell books at that price point.
How are the reviews coming back? That seems really, really short for a book. I mean, I've written blog posts that are that long.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because in the beginning, I felt kind of bad releasing these books because I didn't feel that they were good content.
Yeah.
But like, I would mainly release books about things I knew at least a little bit about. So in my eyes, it wasn't great content, but the majority of the views I get are really good. So I guess they must be doing the trick. And by the way, another good way of finding niches, I was going to say this, but I forgot it, is just like, if there's something that you like to know something about, see if you can write a book about it. Like, I just commissioned a book on hypothyroidism because I don't know what it is and I want to know, you know? So it's kind of a nice way to kind of leverage your own interests.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's a pretty good way to find new niches as well. Also, because it keeps you interested. Like,
yeah, I can see that. Man, I'm just trying to get over, like, I can't imagine that anybody's going to come back with a quality product, a quality, you know, something that could be labeled a book for $50. Like, that just seems insane to me. But apparently it's working. So
yeah,
more power. You know, more power to you. So what's the break-even window like? I mean, you don't have to sell even very many copies to make back your investment on that stuff.
Like, what do you mean by break-even?
So if you invest, you know, $100 in the writing and the cover, and then, I mean, you only have to sell at $2.99 and a 70% royalty, you only have to sell 200 copies to break even. Am I doing
less than that.
50 copies.
Yeah, much less. But there's I have a lot of books that I haven't broken even on at all. And I've only released, I think, 15 books, and I think four of them I have lost money on. And then it's almost like it's three or four of those books that are making all the money. So if, say, you want to try this and you release five books and they all bomb, you just got to keep doing it. Because like, you'll hit that one book at some point and you'll make good money from it and you don't have to touch it again. Like, the only thing you'll have to do is schedule the promotions for, like, when you give out your book for free. Like, that's all part of the KDP, the Kindle Direct Publishing deal. You get to give out your book for free and you get to, or you can either pick by giving it out for free or making what's called a Kindle Countdown deal. So So if, say, your book is $2.99, you could give it out for 99 cents and $1.99, and it will be like on a deal like that for 5 days, and you'll still earn full commission.
The little countdown like shows on the side, like, oh, it's on sale for limited time.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's when to be eligible to do that, you've got to give Amazon the exclusive rights to the book, right? This is KDP Select.
Yeah. So you get 70% if you enroll your book in KDP, but you have to price your book between $2.99 and $9.99. If it's outside of those brackets, then you only get 35.
Okay. Is there any tactics that's worked well in terms of like when to schedule these countdown deals? Like, do you always launch at you know, $2.99, or do you launch at the 99 cent price point to like get some initial downloads and reviews, something like that?
Well, I haven't really done any A/B split testing, but most people, most authors, they say Sunday is the best day because then people aren't out all night, you know. So if you schedule 5 days, you'll get Sunday up until what, Thursday? And
okay, Sunday is the best day to launch.
To launch your promotions, because then you skip the Friday and Saturday where people aren't sitting at home reading books.
Okay. No, that I didn't know. That's good to know.
Yeah, which is just I haven't done any split testing, so I wouldn't know. But that's just what I do because it seems logical.
You know, someone else had recommended if you're going after borrows, so in KDP Select, they'll also pay you about $2 anytime somebody on Amazon Prime borrows your book, and they get, I think, one free borrow per month. And so most often those happen at the beginning of the month. So people would recommend, pumping up your promo deal either at the end of the previous month, or like the first couple of days of the month, to like boost up the exposure, boost up the numbers, and then maybe you can grab some borrows from people who don't want to buy it. But $2.99
makes sense. I never thought of that. That's clever.
At a $2.99 price point, I found that the borrows go up the higher your prices, because people are more likely to, if they only get one borrow a month, they don't want to waste it on a $2.99 book. They'd rather, borrow a $9.99 book or something.
Very true. There's so many tricks like that where you gotta, like, for example, I found that a really good trick is putting your book in create space as well. So you can put like a really high print list price above your Kindle price.
Yes.
So there's the scarcity mentality. So it says, I put all my books, usually all my books to $2.99 or $4.99, and then I'll put a print list price of $9.99. So it's like, 50% off, 70% off, And that is actually, I think that has affected my sales really positively.
I really, really love the create space strategy. And from the standpoint of, hey, this isn't just some Kindle author anymore. Like, anybody can be, but this is like, hey, they've got a legit paperback version.
Definitely, definitely. What's even better is, The only reason why I created a CreateSpace account was to get that $9.99 above my Kindle price, just to get that 70% off.
Exactly. It makes it look like a much better deal in comparison.
Definitely. But I went into my CreateSpace account 2 weeks after I had done this, and I had done $110 in sales.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. Maybe a third of the business comes through CreateSpace, which is surprising, even though it's a higher price point.
Definitely.
But people, still like the tangible copies. So if you're a Kindle author and you're neglecting to do the paperback version, CreateSpace makes it super easy. It's print on demand. You never have to touch the product. You owe it to yourself to check out the platform. So you've made the public goal of reaching $4,260 in monthly passive income before starting university. So how long do you have before that, and what specifically are you doing to make that happen?
Actually, I just wrote a post on it today because Amazon updates your weekly sales every Sunday. So I've decided that I'm going to do an update every Sunday or Monday. And I was, I'm 45% towards my goal, and I have 26 weeks to go. So
you're tracking really well. Now, I guess I should ask when you started this adventure.
Sorry?
When did you start this adventure? On publishing?
Like as in when did I decide that I wanted to reach that goal?
Yeah. When did you get started on Kindle?
Oh, when I got started on Kindle, I think it was in October, I think.
Okay. So
I didn't start making any money on it until late November.
Okay. Well, we're chatting here. It's so this will go live in a few weeks. We're chatting at the end of February 2014. So we're not, we're 4 or 5 months into your author, your career as an author, and you're already up to $1,500 a month, which is amazing. That's outstanding. I think most people most authors will, you know, never touch that amount. So that's really, really good. And then
you could way quicker. You could do it way quicker. Because I wasn't putting that much time into it. It was only until I started seeing that certain books are doing really well that it's like, oh, I better amp it up. But if you just put in a lot of time and you're willing to throw a lot of money after freelancers, then you'll do well. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. No, I got to go back to these freelancers for $50. That's
yeah.
So where, you know, are these people all in Pakistan, or are they all over the map, or where are you finding these guys?
Well, some of them are actually from the States.
Okay.
And a lot of them are from Pakistan, from India. I just hired one from Serbia today.
And the English is okay, or you got to do some editing afterwards.
Oh yeah, always.
Okay.
Always.
And you're publishing under.
Well, you got to do that. You got to do with that with British and American writers.
Yeah,
anyway,
No, that makes sense. It's just to what extent do you want to? So I had to like completely rewrite the whole thing that I got back. It's just like it was.
Was it really that bad?
I don't know. I was going to put it under my own name. I think that was my downfall, right? It's like I wasn't comfortable putting this out under my brand, I guess. It's like this is not me. This is not like consistent with the quality that I want to be associated with. So I had to recreate it, and that was okay. That was a good lesson to learn. So live and learn, an expensive lesson.
Definitely.
So okay. Let's talk about, so you've got a Skillshare course going on that's teaching people about how you're getting this done.
Yeah, I do. I just updated it a couple of days ago, actually.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes, and is it covering basically the same stuff that we talked about plus a little more detail?
Yeah, I've got like videos showing exactly what I do, and I actually put up a landing page on my website. So it's going to be nicholaskingo.com/SHN, Side Hustle Nation. Yeah.
Okay.
to start with in SNH. So I had to go and correct it. But it's just like a landing page, you know, a welcome note. And I'm going to put together the coupon code so people can, I figure just give it to them for free. Like,
oh, well, thank you. That's awesome.
No worries. I feel a bit with digital products, it's like you're not really losing anything. So in the beginning, I had like this very scarcity mindset with it, and I'd like put out the course for like $25, then I'd put it down $5, and like I'd be stuck at like 2 reviews, and I just figured, what am I doing? And I just like give it out to like a bunch of friends and just say, yeah, just give me a review, because you know I believe in abundance, and if you just give out a buttload, you'll get it back, you know. So
yeah, definitely. If you guys do check it out, be sure to leave Nick a review. That's really generous of you. Thank you.
No worries.
And I wanted to ask if you, so Skillshare is kind of another side hustle on its own, with people, you know, teaching their courses and stuff. Is there any strategy aside from giving it away to collect reviews? Anything you've done to stand out on that platform and generate some passive income there?
They have a lot of guides. They do a really good job. Like once you create your course, you get assigned a Skillshare person, and they'll help you out if you have any questions. And they have a blog where you where they teach you how to word the name of your class, and they'll change it. Because when I started out, I think I named it something like easiest way to make online passive income, something stupid like that.
super cheesy, and people are like, yeah, oh, this is a spam. This is, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I actually made like a really fancy video. I got a friend who's like really into video editing, and he made it with me. And in the video, I actually say, so sign up for my Skillshare class where I'll teach you the easiest way to make online passive income. But, you know, you just, yeah, I've changed the text, but I can't really change the video, so. Just stuck with it.
Okay. I love the quote of "I believe in abundance," just because that's something that resonates with me from the mindset of, instead of all fighting over this tiny piece of the pie. What can we do to make the pie bigger and help everybody else out? And that's one of the reasons behind this podcast and behind this site is, you know, there's other methods out there to earn a living. And that's kind of what we believe in sharing. So thank you for bringing that up. I guess we're kind of moving toward the end. If you had to start over, is there anything you would do differently with regards to the Kindle business?
I would have invested more time and more money into it. Definitely.
Yeah, it sounds like if you've got a system here that's scalable and replicable, and you might as well. It's like if you can spend a dollar to make two, you might as well keep spending those dollars.
Oh, for sure, because it's the first time you make your first online dollar. It feels great. It's such a, it's like nothing else. When you go to sleep and you, in the beginning I would wake up at night and I would go log into my account and see, oh, I just made like $3 while sleeping or something like that.
Hey, every little bit counts. I love it.
All this, yeah, definitely. But it's so addicting. But it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Awesome. Nick, thanks so much for reaching out. Everybody, it's Nicholas Kingo, NICKLASKINGO.com/SHN, special landing page for Side Hustle listeners. And we'll wrap up, Nick, with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah, I actually thought a bit about this, and I'd say just be willing to expose yourself to as many things as possible and figure out what's the least amount of effort you have to invest to figure out whether or not this thing is for you. Because I tried building niche websites and I tried just all the basic things and all the internet marketers did, and I thought it was boring. But this, like, Kindle thing was just right up my alley, and it was for me. So, like, just be willing to try out everything and just figure out what's the least amount. So in case with Kindle publishing, it'll be, say, $100. You'd invest in getting two books written and get some covers done and figure out whether or not you find this entertaining and you're passionate about it. Because you can lose a lot of time and a lot of money if you just stick at it and you don't enjoy it. There's got to be the spark. It has to be there.
I agree 100%. I just, this is something I've talked about on a lot of different shows, kind of this experimenter's mindset, like being willing to try something out. Like if it doesn't work, but you know, it's not, and we kind of compare it to the scientist in the laboratory. Like his experiment never really fails. It's like, well, it either, you know, proves or disproves his hypothesis. And so, you know, back to the drawing board if it didn't work out the way you expected.
Definitely.
Anyways, thanks so much for coming on. And
thank you, Nick. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Take care, Nick. Bye. Cheers.
Thank you for listening and sticking around to the end and bearing with those distracting distortions. Trying to get it cleaned up, but that's beyond my audio editing skill repertoire. So sorry about that. You may have heard a hint of skepticism from me about this low-priced outsourcing book publishing strategy, but hey, who am I to knock it if it works? It's low risk. It's relatively easy to get started. If you go down that path, or if you've already gone down that path, leave me a comment. Let me know how it's going over in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode47. Very curious to hear if other people are making this work and making a side hustle out of it. So I've got one World Domination Summit ticket to sell. If anyone wants to hit up that awesome conference that's going on in Portland this summer, let me know. Nick@sidehustlenation.com is the email. All right, guys, that's it for the show. Until next time, go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 48, getting closer and closer to the big 5-0. I'm out. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.